Genesis 1, verse 26. Our question is, what's so specific about gender? What's so specific about gender? Beginning in verse number 26, first chapter, first book of the Bible, God's word said, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Father, as we study this important topic, this very relevant topic today, help us to see how this is important for our families, Lord, and help us to answer this question. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated tonight. There may be nothing more self-evident in the natural universe than the fact that every animal species is divided into two, male and female. And yet, supposedly, the most intelligent of all those species wrestles with the idea of whether or not male and female are real things. And so our culture has come so far from biblical truths that our children's God-given identities are under attack. And we are in a serious battle for the souls of our children, so we must anchor their hearts in the identity that God has given them, not what they think, not how they feel, not what society says, but what is the identity that God has given to them. And so I'm going to try to be mindful of our time tonight. This is going to extend into next Wednesday, because I knew if I didn't, then I would go way over. And I told my wife that I wouldn't this evening go way over. So I feel led to preach this on a Wednesday, because instead of a Sunday night, because we have kids in the service with us on Sunday nights as well. And some of the things that I may say, I wouldn't feel comfortable with my six-year-old daughter hearing, or my nine-year-old son. And so the idea is, what we can learn, we can take that and then teach that to our children as we feel led and as they are prepared to do so. We can explain this issue to our kids, and we should. I'm going to, again, extend this to next week, but what I'm going to do tonight is try to set the stage, sort of, and then get into the outline more next week. But overall, we're going to look at the foundation of our God-given identity. We're going to look at the fight for our God-given identity, and then the formulation of our God-given identity. But let's start with, where are we at? I think that sets a temperature gauge a little bit of where we're at as a culture in that video. And of course, it doesn't show all the interviews, and we don't want to believe that everyone on the college campus of Washington believes that way. But at the same time, it at least gives you a heartbeat, a little bit of maybe what the culture believes. If there's a single area where our society is more confused than ever on anything, it is gender. And we're not just confused about gender identity, we're confused about words like tolerance and what that actually means, acceptance and what that actually means, and even words like love and marriage. People, especially with an anti-God agenda, have taken God's design, they've turned it inside out, they've flipped it upside down, and they're forcing those beliefs upon our kids who, at the time, do not know any better. So most kids today, I'm not referring to kids that, you know, Christian kids or kids in church, but just kids in general, are more likely to hear the agenda of the LGBTQ R-S-T-U-V, you see what I'm saying? And I'm sort of joking about that, but not entirely. They are more likely today to hear the agenda, that agenda, compared to a clear explanation of biblical truth on gender. If you were to ask how many of them have even heard about multiple genders and gender identity, I'm sure most kids today, even at a junior high level, would have some idea about what you're talking about. But if you were to ask them, could you give me a biblical definition of gender? I think they would struggle. And so the war is for the hearts and minds of our children. But now, culture has taken a further step in that war. They're not only attacking our kids' hearts, they're not only attacking their minds, but now they're attacking their bodies, even their bodies. And so let's try to set aside any prejudice that we may have and kind of listen to God's word with an open heart and see what His word teaches on this subject. You're going to see really quickly that the Bible is absolutely clear about this. There is no debate whatsoever. It's settled in the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible. Again, Genesis 1:27, "For God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him." And here it is, all of the gender identities contained in this one verse: male and female created He them. No matter how confused our culture becomes on this issue, it is vital for us. Why are we talking about this during Family Month? Because this attacks the family. God's design for the family. It attacks God's design for the church as well, and the picture that God has of the family in the church. But it's vital that we as parents anchor our kids in God's design for them and not what culture tries to shape them. So what does history tell us? History tells us when families begin to disintegrate, all of society feels the reverberations from that. The most ungodly societies of history, including ones like Sodom and Gomorrah, Rome, Corinth, and many others, have been plagued by sex role perversions. Notice how the Bible describes some of these wicked cities. At first, Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis 19:5, it says, "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." At Lot's home, an angry mob surrounds his house in order to take the angels, who they perceive as men, to bring them out and to know them in a sexual, intimate relationship, a homosexual relationship. God strikes them blind, the men of that city, who are trying to do this perverse act. And even after becoming blind, they still search for the door of Lot's house. Now, some might argue, and I don't have time to go into all the details of this story, but some might argue that the sin of this wicked city was inhospitality, which clearly misses the point. Homosexuality was the reason, the principal reason, that God poured out fire and brimstone on these cities. And anyone who seriously will study Scripture and do it in an expository way will come to that same conclusion. To this very day, Sodom and Gomorrah, sodomy, sodomite, is a stark reminder about how God feels about sin in general, but homosexuality specifically, okay? In Romans, listen to how the Bible describes this type of lifestyle. Romans 1:26, notice some of the words it uses. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." Vile affections. I remember Kirk Cameron got on, he was on some sort of news interview, and he said that homosexual marriages were not good for the family and the family in America. And he was, people ate him alive for that. God calls it a vile affection. The world calls it love. It says, "For even their women," notice this, "did change the natural use into that which is against nature. We've already, you know, I've already mentioned that all of nature has a certain order, male and female, that relationship. And it says they are changing their natural use to go against nature. Verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. This is how God describes certain cities who are perverse in their sexual nature in the Bible. But where are we at today? I think here in America, we are in the beginning stages, or we're just now beginning to discover the results of our gross sexual sins. And it's going to get a lot worse as we continue down this dark, dark rabbit hole and down this dark path. And what we're seeing is now it's coming back around to bite people who have tried to push this agenda from the very beginning. And we see this, they've made their own bed and now they have to lay in it. Because when you open this can of worms of multiple genders, when you open that up and you step through that door, there is no end. There's, once you cross that line, friend, there's no going back. You are either all in or you are all out. And there is really, there's no end to how far it can go. And that's what we've been seeing even recently, that this can of worms has been opened. And now people are starting to retract a little bit, and they want just a piece of the pie, you know, but not the whole thing. And here's what I mean by that. One of the most famous examples in recent times is, of course, the story of Bruce Jenner, the Olympian, and now famous TV personality, whose name now is Caitlyn Jenner, who underwent a sex change and. Think about this story. I heard somebody ask this. If he is truly a woman, does that mean that a woman won the decathlon? And if yes, then we need to go back and rewrite a few things and maybe even question that a little bit. But if it's not a woman, then why? You see what I'm saying? Where do you draw the line? What about a 45-year-old man who identifies as a 16-year-old and tries to date your daughter? What's the difference? I'll tell you the difference. At one point in time, that 45-year-old would have been a 16-year-old, but at no point in time has a man ever been a woman or a woman ever been a man. So what's the further jump? They were 16 once. Age is just a number, right? What about a few years ago in 2015 when a woman named Rachel Dolezal, the former leader of the NAACP, was outed for being white and not being black? Anybody see that story? This is the bed they've made, and I just stepped back and I thought, let them try to figure this one out. Because here's what the woman said. She was born a Caucasian woman, and people were outraged. And look, I don't think they were outraged over the fact that just that she was white, but that she lied about it, right? And I see the outrage there. But this woman said, I quote, "I identify as a black woman." Who are we to tell her she's not a black woman? Look, you say, well, Pastor, that's not the same. Gender and skin color are two different things. I agree 100%. As a matter of fact, biologically, that woman is closer to being black than she is being a man. Did you know there's less than 1% difference between any two people? You take two people anywhere in the world, you pluck them out, put them side by side. There is less than 1% difference biologically of their skin color. A few things changed, and they may be darker or lighter. Friend, we're all the same color, just different shades, right? And this whole idea of races, well, that's a whole different sermon, because there's one race, it's the human race, right? Anywho, how can we tell her she's wrong? She is closer to being black than she is to being a man. Because she can't change the color of her skin? She did that. She changed the color of her skin, just like somebody may have a sex change. But there's outrage. Let me look in a different direction. What about someone who does not have intellectual disabilities participating or competing in the Special Olympics, but they identify as someone who had, in their mind, they have intellectual disabilities. And maybe they could even find a quack somewhere to tell them, yes, you do have intellectual disabilities. Any difference? And society is really kind of drinking its own poison. Because what do we see that's happening now? What we see is a man who identifies as a woman competing in a women's bodybuilding competition and smashing records. Who would have guessed that? We see a male cyclist who identifies as a woman, this is just even more recent, who's beating all of these other women, and people are outraged. I'm sure some of the same people who are okay with him identifying as a woman, just so long as it doesn't mess up what they got going on, right? Anyone who believes you can identify as whatever gender you would like cannot challenge that bodybuilder. They cannot challenge that cyclist. They cannot challenge the male-born mixed martial arts fighter who is beating up women in a cage. You can't challenge that. You're either all in or you're not in at all. Either they are and we give them, either men can be women and we give them all the privileges of women. Either women can be men and we give them all the privileges of men, or none of it. But you can't just have a little bit. You see what I'm saying? Because can's been opened. Even recently in the news, and I haven't really read about this too much, but seeing the outrage over making feminine products gender neutral. And I knew a few women that had to say some things about that. But again, who are we to not bow down to that if they can truly be men and vice versa? Now, because you've crossed the line, again, everybody wants equality until it starts messing up what they do or gets personal, and then all of a sudden they have a change of heart. They're in or they're out. There is no middle ground on this. I know where I stand. Do you know where you stand? I bet you do. Let me read a quote for you, and I wish I knew the source of this quote. I found it on Twitter, so that's, it's got to be true. No, it's a good quote, actually. I just don't remember the gentleman I copied it from, but he said this. You may not understand the first part, but I want you to get the second part, okay? Because I don't really understand the first part. Transgenderism is the most narcissistic, infantile, destructive result of the critical gender theory so far. If you don't understand any of that, just you'll understand this part, okay? It says of our society, we are no longer adults in a real world, we are children in a world of our own imagination. And as you saw in so many of those interviews, well, if that's what you want to be, the one woman said, I wouldn't call you wrong, but I would just tell you I don't believe you. Isn't that kind of the same thing? But we're so afraid of saying no to someone. This is wrong. You are a man. You are a woman. You're not a child. You're not black. You're not 6'5". You're not white. You're not Asian. You are what you are. You are what you were born to be. Look, my three-year-old, Job, the other day, we asked Gracie, take Job to the restroom. We were just in the church doing something, stop. Sometimes you stop for a restroom break at the church. And so Gracie, take Job to the restroom. And so Gracie knows that she only goes into the women's restroom. Well, Job's little, so she brings Job starts bringing him to the women's restroom, and he refuses. No, no. And then mom, and come on, Job, he won't go. And Sierra says, Job, go to the restroom with Gracie. And he says, I'm a boy. And I thought, amen, Job, resist. Look, my three-year-old gets it. And how far have we fallen as a society where you ask someone, who's going to college. Those are supposed to be the smart people. And they say, because their brains have been turned to mush by our culture that says, don't offend anyone. Don't offend. And to see the look on their faces, the one girl kept saying, good for you, good for you. You're a woman, good for you. You're Asian, good for you. You're 6'5", good for you. First grade, whatever you want, you know, I'll appease you. And we have turned into, again, children. We're just make-believe. Make-believe. America has gone off the rails with this. And I think if you were to go to most liberal colleges or all liberal colleges in America right now, any of them, you just pick one out, I think you'd have a hard time, maybe a 50% chance or less of someone answering. If you said, how many genders are there? I think you would have a less than 50% chance that the person would say two. And if they did, they'd probably say two, but don't tell anyone. Today, gender, which, by the way, God established gender. I hate this idea, and I watched another video by that group, the Family Institute, or Family Policy Institute of Washington, and they were speaking to another individual, and they said that people kept repeating that gender is just something that it's a societal norm. It's just been forced on us by society, but there's not really any differences between us. And it's not a society thing. God established gender in the very beginning. And now gender identity is seen as the enemy. What do people want to do? We have gender distinctions, and people see that as putting them in a box. Well, I don't want to put a label on you when 99% of the time, that's exactly what you can do. I could go around this room and do it in this entire church, in this entire city, and I may miss five times, all right? But we can, because there are, guess what? Our differences. God has ordained differences, but people see this gender identity as a box that you just got to break free of that. And it's God's design. It's not society that has designed that. And the world likes to consider gender based off of social construct and having nothing to do with sex or based on your physicality. But the Bible does not make such a distinction. The Bible cuts through all the confusion. All those people seem so confused and they didn't know how to respond when it was such a simple question. All of you here today could answer those questions. No, 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 right? It was easy. And yet the Bible cuts through all the world's confusions. And here's what it says in Genesis 5:2, just in case we didn't get it in the first chapter. Male and female created he them. In that one verse, we're not even done with the verse, and God has established two genders, and that is it. That is it. And I joked about the whole LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ, but the prominent belief is that we have what's called a gender continuum, which means there are an unlimited amount of genders. Watch some of those interviews. They'll say things like there are an infinite. You'll ask them how many infinite. It's infinite. That's why they can't just call it LGBT. Remember, it used to be T, then they added the Q, and then it used to be just gay. And I don't know if that's political correct. I don't care. Gay is what we used to call someone. And then it was gay lesbian. And then it developed to LGBT and now Q, but you can't do that anymore. Try to Google it. Google, the smartest thing in the world, it's almost omniscient, okay? We looked at it for everything, and not even Google can tell you how many genders there are. We're messed up. We're messed up. Children are growing up and they're being bombarded with this. I mentioned it a little bit on Sunday night, but it used to be subtle. But now it's blatant. It's blatant. Little boys are told they don't have to be boys. Girls are told that they might not really be girls. And whatever they feel they are is what they are. Boy, girl, mixture of the two. But as the church of the living God, we cannot be neutral on gender neutrality, right? We can't remain neutral. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 17, verse 1. I don't think I've really ever preached an entire message on this, not out of want. I just one haven't felt led or the opportunity didn't arise in a situation like this or family month. And I'm a little fired up about it is what I mean. And that's why we're doing part two. And don't be surprised if later this year, or since it's almost over, next year, I preach this on a Sunday morning too. Because everybody needs to hear this, to be honest. Luke 17:1, then said he unto the disciples, it is possible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should, notice this, offend one of these little ones. And you got a bunch of people who have degrees going around telling our boys they may not be boys. And telling our girls they may not be girls. And they are messing kids up. I saw a video so disturbing. Maybe you saw this too, where a father, I think, was trying to take legal action against the mother of his child because of videos he had, evidence that he had, that this mom was trying to convince her son that he wasn't her son. And videos where the child is confessing, mommy told me I was a girl. Mommy told me I was a girl. And look, whether you know my heart on this or not, I honestly think, I'm looking at scripture here, it's better that a millstone, you know what a millstone is? Maybe you've seen one. I believe there's still one down in Yoktangi. Anybody ever been to Yoktangi Park in Chillicothe? If you walk around the lake, there's a little trail, there's a millstone. There used to be. I think it's still there because nobody's going to move this thing, all right? Unless you got something bigger than a forklift. You need a crane to get that thing out of here. Massive, all right? Massive. And maybe you've seen smaller ones. A millstone hanged. I picture that millstone being wrapped, tied to a rope, wrapped around someone's neck and being pushed off a cliff that plummets into the sea. It's better a millstone would be hanged around their neck and you cast it in the sea than what? Than that you should offend one of these little ones. I don't think I'm out of bounds in saying I truly believe that there is a special place in hell for people who are pushing this agenda on our little kids. It doesn't get much more sick than that. And they are attacking God's design. Look, given enough conditioning as a child, especially any child can be convinced that they identify more as the opposite gender. You start conditioning them early enough, right? Anyone, not just children. Think about something called the Holocaust. How did a man convince millions of people that the Jewish people were not truly human? And to commit such a, given enough conditioning, and that's exactly what's happening. They are being conditioned. Look, a person can wish to be whatever they want to be. It doesn't change what they actually are. I wanted to be 7 foot tall when I was playing high school basketball. But friend, it doesn't change the reality. Now, why is this important? Let me close with this. Again, I just want to set the stage. You got to come back next week. This is absolutely a huge deal. Because in destroying gender identity, you're not only questioning the sovereignty of God, but friend, you are attacking the inerrancy and authority of the Bible. And that's what this comes back to. This isn't a personal opinion, all right? People are attacking the authority of Scripture. Satan, from the very beginning, what has he always done? He attempts to deceive and question God, doesn't he? Didn't he do that in the garden with Adam and Eve? Do not, or you can eat of every tree except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it. If you do, you'll die. What does Satan say? Did God really say you would die? You're not really going to die. He begins to question it. In 6 days, the Lord made heavens and the earth and everything in them. And what does Satan do? Was it really 6 days? Was it millions? I mean, it was probably millions, right? That makes more sense. And then we read, in the beginning, he made them male and female. And Satan says, are you sure that was it? I think one of the fiery darts that Satan throws at humanity is to make us dissatisfied with how God made us. And to some, he may whisper, you're ugly, or you're fat. To others, he may whisper, you're foolish, you're clumsy. And then to others, he may say, you look like a boy, but you're really not. And in every case, the underlying message is this: God messed up when he made you. And yet what I read in Scripture is that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And look, through the redemption of Jesus Christ, we can have, everyone can have forgiveness of all sins, all sinful feelings as well. And one day, eventually, we will have the freedom from sin altogether. No temptation, no sin, no the curse being completely gone. Look, Satan hates God's word. Would you agree with that? But I think he has a special dislike for the book of Genesis. Genesis simply means beginnings. It's the beginning of so many things. And what Satan likes to do is he likes to attack things at their very core, at the very beginning. And that's what we see him do. For hundreds and hundreds of years, Satan has convinced people and attacked the account of creation in the Bible, and he perpetuates the lie of evolution even to today. And now what do we see him doing? Once again, an all-out attack. God created gender and our identity, and now he's attacking that. Look, I think Satan knows something. He's not ignorant, and he knows something. If he can get people to question the first chapter of the Bible, maybe they'll begin to question the rest of the Bible. And if you can't believe Genesis 1:27, that male and female are it, then how can we really trust John 3:16 or Romans 10:13? Satan knows. He puts a seed of doubt at the beginning of Scripture. He attacks the beginning, and it causes us to start to distrust the rest of the Bible as well. Our families are under attack, but look, what do? We have to know the truth. We know God's word, and once we know God's word, you have to stand with God's word. And friend, every year that passes, that's going to get harder and harder to do. As the world continues to turn away from the Lord, standing for this book won't be as easy as it is now. And I still think it's easy now. It won't be as easy as it used to be 50 years ago or 100 years ago. But still, we must stand. Would you bow with me tonight? Maybe you're here this evening and